and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
Glad you tuned to the broadcast again this time. We're picking up our study here in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 17, the Lord Jesus says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." And these beatitudes that he gives, and then this about the children of God and the Lord's churches being the salt and the light of the Lord, and salt and light making a difference, preserving, showing and shining forth the truth in that. He gives a warning to the people there that they don't get excited. He's not come to tear down any of the law of God, no aspect of it, nor what the prophets have preached and declared. He has come to fulfill such, and praise be to God for it. A man, come to fulfill what God had given mankind. Verse 18, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." He said, time, the end of time is coming, but we will not get to the end of time before all the law of God to mankind is fulfilled. And of course, it's fulfilled in Christ. Verse number 19, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." So he says, get ready. There's great commandments and then there's least commandments, little commandments. Not that they're not important, but there's just some things that are weightier than others. It's just that way. And we see that in the law of God in the Old Testament. He says, if you are a breaker and a teacher to break even one of the most trivial things compared to a jot and a tittle of the law, which is the punctuation in the Hebrew, he said, you'll be considered least in the kingdom of heaven. I tell you what, those that spend eternity in hell and the lake of fire will be counted as least in the kingdom of heaven. Satan, a breaker of the law of God and a teacher to break the law of God, will be found in the bottom of the pit of the lake of fire. He will be. He and his great power and glory given to him by God, it'll be stripped from him. The world will marvel when they look upon Satan and say, is this the man that caused the great earth, the earth to shake and the kingdoms of the world to shake at his ability and power? And that he said, if you disobey even the least and teach others to do so, you'll be counted least in the kingdom. But who shall obey the command of the Lord and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. How do we boil this down? What do we bring this down to? Well, the law of God has been given by his own mouth. The word of God, the law, this book, the Bible, these 66 books into one great and glorious book, scripture, written down, the word of God, inspired over centuries to many men, given to us what God tells us about ourselves, our need, about him, the future, our depravity, our sin, our salvation through Jesus, the glorious things he has prepared for the future, for his people. All of that, obeying that and teaching that is the way to be great in the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Verse 20, "For I say unto you that except your righteousnesses shall exceed the righteousnesses of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." So now the Lord, he's taken the law. He's given this understanding point. Don't be alarmed. I'm not going to tear up the law. I'm not going to destroy it. I'm not going to destroy the Old Testament. I've come to fulfill it. understand about these commandments. One that breaks the least of these and teaches other will be the least in the kingdom. Be great in the kingdom. Take the word of God and obey it, and teach others to obey it too. Then he declares this: you're going to have righteousness exceeding that of the scribes and the Pharisees to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whoa, this would be one of those things, one of the beginning things for sure that would turn them on their ear. The scribes, these are the people that handle the word of God and men that are writing the word of God and making copy after copy after copy. They've seen the word of God, many of them, for the greater part of their lives. They work with the word of God, the scripture, over and over again, day to day to day, making more copies that the word of God might be preserved. The Pharisees, a most straight and rigorous sect of the Jews, and the taking of the word of God and looking to keep it, being definitive about how you obey the Lord and his word and the law and how to do it right to be to meet the standard that God has set. And he says unto them all there on that Sermon on the Mount, except you have a righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes, except you have a righteousness that exceeds that of the Pharisees, what's he say? You will in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You will not enter in. Wow. People would look on and say, how can I be more righteous than the scribes? How can I be more righteous than the Pharisees? Man, they're top drawer. Who can exceed that? You mean the scribes and the Pharisees are righteous enough to enter into the kingdom of heaven? And the Lord's answer in this is no, they're not. See, the reason it is because the righteousness of men, even in obeying what God has had written down, that is his spoken word, inspired into those men, written down in this book, following these commands given by God, let's say the Ten Commandments, does not make a righteousness suitable to be granted salvation by the Lord. The righteousnesses that we have, as Brother Isaiah tells it, the best day that you and I have, our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Why? We're tainted with sin. We're covered up with sin. Our even thinking as we look to try to do right is just fraught with sin. We so misunderstand the righteous bar and requirement by God Almighty. The standard is the Son of God. God having become a man, the God-man, he's the standard. Because in everything, his entire life, he has kept the word, the law of God. That's the standard. And the thing is, if you're honest, you know that you have not done so. I have not done so. And even if we think that we can pick it up and from here on out obey the law of God and not have an error even in thought, what will we do about the past when we did not know or think that we should be obedient to God? See, the holiness and righteousness of God is way beyond our thinking and way beyond our ability and capability, way beyond what sin has devastated us with. We need one that can take this righteousness or have this righteousness and give it unto us. Jesus said in this good news in verses 17 and 18, I've not come to destroy it, but I've come to fulfill it. Wonderful news, as we've said. And now, he says, you can't enter into the kingdom unless you've got a righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees. Oh, how can somebody have that kind of righteousness? Well, that righteousness given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Savior. That's what he does for sinners that he saves. He gives his righteousness, his total and complete obedience since the day he was born, before he was born. He's divine. He's sinless in every way, in deed and in thought. And he's able to take that righteousness and give it to sinners that repent of their sins before God, admit before God that they're guilty, they have the just deserts of their reward for their sin, their wage for their sin, as the scripture says. That wage is death. We deserve that. And then we believe and trust and rest in the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection for me. I'm the one that should have died, and he died in my stead. I'm the one that should have been buried, and he was buried for me because he died for me. I'm the one that needed life. I could not raise myself, but he rose from the dead and has given me everlasting life indeed. And so the Lord has set it up here, going into the law of God and straightening out things that men have messed up. Verse 21, "You have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment." Semicolon. So here the Lord Jesus deals with this, and it's interesting. And we're going to keep an eye on this as we go through these passages. In the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 20, the Lord gives the Ten Commandments unto us, and he gives us four commandments that pertain to our treatment of him as God. No gods before him, no graven images to represent him or any other god. Don't take his name in vain. Don't say the name of the Lord idly, but always in context, and never in swearing and slang. And then remember the day that he has made, one day out of seven, to honor him and worship him, to come away from the regular routine of life. And in the beginning it was rest, and in our day it's worship. And so, in those commandments, then the next six we see that of the family, honor father and mother. And then next, the sixth commandment is don't kill. We shouldn't murder. We're not to kill anyone and not to kill ourselves. Murder is what it's talking about. To go and in hatred or in bloodlust, take the life of another. God forbids it. And so now he says, you've heard that one should not murder another. And whosoever shall murder another shall be in danger of the judgment, the legal system. Okay, if we understand that right. The law just says what should be done, and it should be done unto them. But here's what Jesus says. But I say unto you, and so here we have the beginning of this, where the Lord is going to say about the law, he's going to bring everybody's mind into what they've been taught and what's been declared by the leaders of that day and the teachers of that day. And then he's going to say, you've heard this, but I'm telling you, here's the way that it is. And in this, the Lord is going to show, he's going to point us to the real need that we have. I see that our time has passed for now. May our Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954. By email at obchurch@gmail.com or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.